What's up, yo?
What's up?
Flapping your gums. I'm Hesse, and this is
Vinny
Vincenza.
Yeah, I had a guy ask me today. Hey, when's your putting out another podcast?
You growing a mustache or a goatee?
It's a goatee. It's just really gray, so the bottom's not showing so much.
Dude, watching you for the listeners that see this video or the clips, look in the YouTube short. Looks like you're going with the moustache.
Kind of a Fu Manchu. It's coming down a little bit on the sides.
Yeah, but it looks like you're going full deputy style.
I'm getting ready for that ice cream season, man.
Yeah, you're gonna be ice cream season. All you listeners out there, be ready for the old ice cream, the moustache.
Holy cow, man.
But yeah, when you watch from this video right here, it does look a little mustache.
Yeah, I know.
But I know that you have a goatee. I can see that, but it's crazy how dark your mustache. You should just grow that cocksucker, dude.
Well, I had a beard until Taylor had prom on Friday, and I went
down. You can go with a beard.
I went.
Were you the prom date?
No, I wasn't the date. No, I just, you know, happy wife, happy life, that kind of thing. So,
gotcha.
Oh, she doesn't like the beard,
but she likes the mustache.
I didn't really. It doesn't look like this. I think it's just the camera. I swear,
dude. Wait till I do it a short for us to post it, and you're gonna look at it and be like, "Gosh damn it, dude!"
I can see it right here on the screen. I can see it right here on the screen.
I don't know. Yeah. If it's the same
on motorcycle cop
as you're in chips. Oh, dude. Well, we're back, so that's cool. It's been it's tough, but it's all right. We're here putting them out there. Episode 71.
Episode 71.
Pretty good. So let's I want to get into the first things I put in the notes. So Vinny went hunting not this last weekend, the weekend before, with his new neighbor.
Well, it's not a new neighbor, but it was a new hunting partner.
A new hunting partner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your neighbor.
Yeah.
Taking him hunting. Had he ever been coyote hunting before?
He has the same lucky duck call I have, and he's only used it twice. And he's like, I've gone out, I've run it, got nothing, and drove off and went, you know, like just bagged it. So I didn't get how long he's, you know, attempted it those two times. I think it was just like nothing came, a couple stands, and he was like, nope. But he didn't. He's like, I don't know anything about it. I don't know what calls to play. I don't even know what time of year he went. But man, that lucky duck call he's got looks brand new. When you put it next to mine, it's like, oof, I've really kind of beat mine up a little bit.
Sun faded. The ringer a few times.
Nah, we had to buy some new parts.
Wanted to get used.
Well, like we had to fix it from that last hunt that Kevin and Lynn and I went on down there to Eggnog, you know, by the Henrys. And I ordered some parts from Lucky Duck, and they were way cool to send them, and took it apart and put it back together. And so, yeah. Talked to those guys at the Hunt Expo up in Salt Lake. That's how I got this fancy Lucky Duck hat. They had to talk to him for 20 minutes before he was like, hey, do you want a hat? I'm like, well, yeah, you should have started with that.
That's how they keep you around.
Yeah,
shout out Lucky Duck, dude. And we use your calls and we call coyotes in. So that's cool.
Yeah.
No, and we have video. You guys want some video?
Yeah, it was good. But no, we went out not too far. I don't know what, 30, 35 minutes east of here. We call it the Sand Ledges. Cuban Hill, whatever you want to call it, and mobbed around.
Give away all your spots.
Yeah, well, if you want to go get stuck, go right ahead. We turned on this road. I'm like, I've been on this road before. He's like, all right, get it. The gate was open, and we took off up the road and then just slid. And the way the road angles to the left, that's where all the mud and everything kind of makes a canal, I don't know, trench, whatever, when it runs down the road. And the truck just slid over there and high-centered. And luckily, we had some service to call in some reinforcements to come pull us out. But yeah, the differential was stuck in the ground. We jacked it up. We put boulders under the tires, trying to keep the thing from getting stuck and or from coming back down. And that's the first time I've ever been stuck. And that's why I don't like to go hunting by myself. I hate it.
You do get a little nervous going
by
yourself.
I do get nervous going by myself. That's why I like to try to go places that don't have a lot of snow.
Well, I mean, you had somebody with you.
I know, I did.
You mean like two vehicles?
No, just going with somebody.
Oh, yeah, because it's just a little better having somebody there with you.
Yeah. Bounce ideas, not get so panicked. You know, if I was up there by myself, I don't know, I would have just walked out, but I knew where their cell phone service is close to my ear.
Sorry, truck, leaving you there for the for dead.
It just, you know, you get nervous. I do. I know you go hunting all by yourself all the time.
I do, yeah. Well, I just don't get, yeah. I'm gonna go. So it's like, if somebody's gonna go with me, I'll take somebody. But if nobody goes with me, yeah, I go by myself.
But do you go to different places? If you're going by yourself, do you go somewhere where it's like, okay, I know there's cell phone service, or I know how far away I am from things? Or, I mean, if you go by yourself, do you kind of plan a little different, or you just plan either way?
Wherever I plan, I'm going. So like, I'll basically plan where I'm going to go. And then if somebody goes with me, then we go there. But I'll plan it out and then be like, hey, you go hunting this weekend? And they'll be like, no, I can't go. Or I'll check a couple guys. And if they can't go, then I'm like, okay. So I still go to the same place. Well, I was like in that, what was it? 2 weekends ago,
it was last weekend.
Last weekend, I was in a foot of snow.
Yeah.
And it was snowing.
Yeah.
The whole time. Now, when I do something like that, I definitely, I go to the same place, but I'm definitely more careful.
And you sent me a text to let me know where you were.
Yeah.
And what time you should be back. That was good.
Yeah, and I do that. So I sent that to you, and also Lee has that one. And it's just like, depending on where my service is and stuff like that, you have people that you could call and be like, hey, like I told you, let Lee know, you know, or whatever. Because sometimes he doesn't get that text or whatever till after he gets out of his job or whatever.
Right.
But I just put a couple feelers out there for people. And then when I'm down in a certain spot, then I'll, you know, kind of do, like I'll kind of then go into, if I'm going to park the truck, usually we'll like, as I come into it, kind of get myself turned around and then.
So you're downhill or whatever.
Yeah. Just so I know, like, if I get back, because it's snowing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if I park there and then I wait, who knows? You know, if I get a coyote coming in and I'm there for 30, 40 minutes, I parked with a foot and then I come back and there's 14 inches, you know, or whatever. So I just usually get turned around and kind of back into my tracks that I'm headed back out of. And there was a couple times I looked up and I was like, ooh, man, it would be where it looks like up there where the snow, like those clouds are kind of socking in tight and it's still snowing. I'm like, I should drive up there. And I'm like, no, because you're here by yourself and there's a foot of snow. So.
Yeah, we did the shovel thing.
Smack a coyote.
You did smack a coyote. I did not smack a coyote. We heard him and we were trying to get closer to him, but I could text. Sometimes we did have, like, we walked down the road a little bit, you could call, but you'd have the phone call for a little while, maybe it would drop. But I did text Emily and I'm like, hey, Preston, our other neighbor, is going to come up and pull us out. So can you find me on Live 360? So she had location in my phone. So she's like, yeah, I see you on road, like, whatever, 058 or 85, whatever it was. And I'm like, yep, that's the one we're on. And apparently it located it on a different part of the road. So he went a different direction. So it made it a lot longer before he found us. But there.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like where I was at, I have zero cell service. You know, I could, it could go into the SOS emergency thing if I needed to, but I know down the road, you know, if I had to hike myself out in the snow, I mean, I'm going to have to go, I don't know what, 10 miles.
Yeah.
You know, it would suck trudging through a foot of snow for that. I mean, I could physically do it.
Right.
But I don't want to. And so I just park my truck in places that don't need to. The only thing that would have happened would be breaking down. So that part of it is like not cool that you are, you know, in no cell service and by yourself.
Yeah, it gets a little creepy.
Yeah. I mean,
not creepy, I guess, but it gets panicky. I get panicky.
Yeah. I think there's like a certain where it gets me. I think, going by yourself at night, like when I go thermal at nighttime.
Yeah.
That's a little more eerie. I feel like there's an added vulnerability to that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you're sitting in there in the dark by yourself. It's like you don't have another set of eyes or ears to hear things or anything like that. Not like that. I feel like I'm going to be ass raped or, you know, sex trafficked in that sense. It's like,
okay. I was thinking more like mountain lion or
not even that. I don't even think it's that. Like, I mean, no, a lion, I mean, possibly depending on where we're at. There's been a couple of times where there is a possibility of it. But even on the other places, it's like when you're sitting there in the dark, there's just that, it's dark. And it's dark, as in when we go, it's 11 o'clock at night. It's pitch black.
You got the moon, maybe.
Maybe the moon.
Maybe.
And you don't want it.
No.
So usually you're trying to go when there's no moon.
No, right.
Or like a sliver.
I know, but the best thing, the plus side of that is you do have a thermal. So any heat signature.
True. But that also doesn't, some stuff I don't want to see.
There's that.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see that skunk that's out in front of me walking right towards me. I'm like, holy Jesus, I'm going to have to shoot this thing. Like, literally, I was in some cows, and there's a skunk, and I'm like, and it's walking from right to left, and it turns, and it's kind of, like, coming right to me. And I don't know if they're curious, if it smelled me, whatever it may be.
Is it coming to the call? Is it coming to you calling?
I mean, no, it didn't seem like. It didn't seem like it was really, like, focused in. It was just walking right to left, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, maybe I'm going to head this way. Who knows? Okay. Maybe I was just sitting in the path that it generally takes.
Right, right.
And it's walking straight to me. And I'm just like, and it does, it seems like it doesn't know I'm there. Right. And so I'm like, if this thing gets any closer, I'm shooting it. Because first of all, skunks smell terrible.
Yeah.
And it will ruin everything I have on me.
Yeah.
And then I have to come home.
And take a tomato bath.
I don't even know if that's a thing, but I hate tomatoes. So if it does, then I'm having to get in. I'm gonna have to get in some tomato soup or something. I'm like, maybe they could do just ketchup. Will that work?
No, you hate ketchup more.
No, I like ketchup.
Okay,
but can I do a tub of ketchup?
You could. That's a lot of ketchup. But I don't
know, dude, that's a lot of freaking tomato. What do you do? Get in the water and cut the tomatoes up and put it in there? Like
it's two? Not to, like they just use tomato
paste.
Sauce, like you said, so tomato soup,
like
tomato
a stew, just
yeah,
stew, just
yeah.
Rubbing it on my body,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
disgusting,
you're gonna, it,
dude.
I don't know if it's like a V8 kind of. I mean, after you put it in water,
I'm
it's
a Bloody
be,
Mary.
You're dude, Bloody Mary.
Throw some VA and some vodka in
dude,
here.
Just dump some vodka in there and just get a straw and be like, yeah, this is a. But wouldn't you like throw a rock at it? Like throw a stick, maybe kind of get it to veer off.
But okay, so then what do I do if I throw something at it?
Well, don't hit it, really. Like, don't piss it off.
Dude, I'm trying to look through my scope while throwing a rock at it. Because as soon as I pull away from that thermal scope, I don't see where the hell it's at.
That's true. I don't know.
Dude, luckily a cow.
But if you made some rustle noise, if you rustled some stuff, would it be like,
because that cow came, a cow was standing over to the right of me and, like, turned and started walking across. And I don't know if the cow didn't like the skunk being there, and it started kind of walking towards it. And then the skunk turns and, like, ran away from the cow.
Yeah.
Which is a natural thing. If I was probably to walk up on that skunk and it decided to not turn around and walk off and just, I don't know how far they spray.
But they spray out of their back. So if he's facing you, you're okay.
Oh, sure. I'm going to really risk that.
If it turns around, then
he ain't turned around yet. What if it turns around? I got to take off running. But a real good thing. It didn't happen. But it happened twice. I've had two skunks and I don't know what it is. The one got super close. Cow walked over, ran it off. Thank you, dear Lord. The other one, I just watched it go rooting across. But mice, dude, I hear stuff because I'm sitting there.
Yeah.
You hear rustling next to you, and you're like, what is that? That sounds big. That's bigger than a mouse.
I don't like being in the bush at night when you have some, like a bird that's been in there the whole time you didn't know it was there, and it decides to move.
Yep.
And it's like, it sounds bigger than it really is.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you're so keened in, too. Like, you're tuned in.
And your eyes play tricks on you in the dark, too.
Oh, yeah. It's quiet. It's dark. You're like, you're listening for everything. So that little field mice in the sagebrush sounds like a mountain lion coming up on your six.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but it'll be like, I'll be times I'm panning left to right, dude, like all the time. So very richly, I'm like just watching my phone. And
yeah, there's like that. I like how we can connect to the phone and not have to. Because then when you pull your eye away, all of a sudden that eye is just.
Oh, it's blind. It's blind.
It's blind. You can't use it at all.
Yeah, no, I'm all sitting there. Close like that dude off of freaking
Reacher.
Jack Reacher. Yeah. Keeping my good eye.
Keep my night vision.
Keep my night vision.
When we were in
you guys got pulled out. Preston got up there, pulled you out. You heard coyotes, but you didn't get any. Snowy and muddy.
It wasn't snowing. There was just snow on the ground.
Snowy and muddy.
Scratched the crap out of my truck.
So Vinny sent me the video, and as they yanked it, who was driving?
I was in the truck. Preston was in his Jeep.
Were you hitting it in reverse?
Yeah.
And then
a little bit. I didn't need to do much. He just
kept you down in that rut, and then I heard the branches hit the driver's side of your truck. It probably put it through
it's
the
bad.
Top coat.
It's, I got some of that no scratch. Like AJ grabbed some of that no scratch stuff he bought at like AutoZone, and he came over the other day and he's like, "Look, look, they're almost gone." I'm like, "Yeah, they're almost gone until it's dirty. Then you'll see them again." But
yeah.
So I don't know. I washed it pretty good yesterday,
but it didn't get through the paint.
No, no.
Just probably that top coat a little bit.
Yeah. I can buff it out a little bit probably, and it'll be all right.
That'll buff out.
But this was before you and I watched that Extracted show, before you got onto that thing. I'm addicted to that show. I was trying to work your getting stuck or going out hunting by yourself into our survival skills here.
Yeah.
If you're ready to talk about some of that.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I mean, don't give stuff away because I think I maybe have watched episode 3.
Isn't there only 3 out? I think 4 comes out tonight.
Oh, is it? All right. Yeah. Well, then I am caught up.
Well, I'm not going to get rid of...
No, and you're just going to say you're going to compare skill. Like, so well, by the way, we want to do this.
We do. We are fully into this right now.
It'd be you, me, and Lee.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're going to make go. What if they made you go?
So I was asking... I was going to ask you that question on the pod. I didn't ask you all week because I had this same question last week when I thought about it. Okay. It looks like, do they send in... You send in all 3 people that are on the team... And then they get to decide who goes in the hills?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think so because I would have, like, picked that dude's wife instead of that dude. Like, with the curly hair that's doing really good.
Yeah, if the show wanted... Yeah, but...
Or his brother.
But don't you think the show also doesn't want everybody just to get voted out or kicked? They don't want to extract themselves.
4 days.
So for the listeners...
36 hours, I need to go.
Right. For the listeners, one person goes out into the mountains, into the, you know... forest of Canada. 2 other people stay back at what they call headquarters. They can see the survivor. The survivor can talk. We can, your people at headquarters can hear him. You can't talk back to him. You have to go into a survival room, load up a crate, send it sometimes, or do some other stuff to get them supplies. But they go in with the clothes on their back and a camera bag with the camera that they can set up. There are other cameras set up.
Yeah.
But.
And a canteen. They get one canteen.
Oh, they got a canteen of water. And they're next to a lake, and it's not good water, so you have to boil the water.
Well, any lake water, you can't drink. Doesn't matter any of that.
Even creek water, even the running water.
Yeah.
Running water is probably a little better.
Any of it.
But did you notice?
Tahoe is like 99% pure, and you still wouldn't drink it. You wouldn't go dunk your cup in and drink it, because the 99% pure is not a... Bacteria is natural in lakes, and so that doesn't count as like your... non-natural thing, you know what I mean? Like 99% pure is because of the toxin.
Yeah, you're still going to throw up and have the shits.
Yeah, you're still going to shit your little pants out if you don't boil the water. So go with it.
But I'm going to nitpick when you were watching episode 2.
Okay.
And they were showing episode 3 coming up or whatever, and everybody's sitting there, and they're wearing coats. And some of them are rainproof and stuff like that. It's like, well, where did these come from?
Oh, I didn't really pay that much attention.
Yeah, see? I mean, they were showing...
Well, they went out wearing those jackets. Mm-mm. I think, because on some of them, like that one kid, he had... What was his name?
I don't know names.
The black kid?
Yeah, I don't know what his name was. I can't
remember what his name was, but Jerome or something like that. He has waterproof bibs that he was wearing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He had the bibs on. But when they all come rolling up, there was a couple that got out of the rigs and they had like their like that bibs and like a jacket.
See, and I don't remember seeing some of the coats like.
I think that I mean that's what I would wear. A pair of Zamberlin boots, like waterproof boots. I would have waterproof bibs like that and a sweatshirt jacket,
like a rain jacket.
I wouldn't care if they're like, man, we're starting you out. It's 75 degrees. I'm like, this is what I'm wearing.
Yeah, I just didn't notice some of the jackets.
And they may not have. Episode. They may due to the fact of the weather liability? That rolls in.
You got to have liability.
To, yeah, kind of like when there was a bear around. Like Tasha's like, oh my gosh! I go, they're not going to let a person get eaten. Like I just feel like that. I mean, that's great TV. I get more. I don't think.
I felt like some of the clothes were not what they wore.
And then you could possibly off. Now that you've said that, I'll definitely pay more attention to that part of it.
You might have to go back and watch the first episode. But then some of them were like, oh, yeah, I think they heard about it. Like they knew a month in advance is
what one of them said. Been practicing it.
I've been practicing and stuff like that. So
like the chick that couldn't start a fire for the life of me. I almost went nuts. watching her try to start a fire.
That she started it and then it went out and then she started it and smothered it. That one?
Doing the same thing over and over. Yeah. And expecting a different result. Like, she sat there and did the same damn thing with the same stuff in the fire pit to try to start it. And I'm like, get something that's not wet, not green. Like, find some different stuff. Like, if you practice that, you know, I think the frustrating part would be
watching from a
the
distance.
Person not be able to do something. And you're like, I could do that. Except that you also have to think, like, your mind's going to be a little different.
Yeah.
Because you have a limited amount of water. You haven't had food in 24 hours. You know what I mean? It's not like you're starving to death. You're basically fasting right there. But a lot of those people probably never have.
That's what I'm saying. If you signed up for the show, if I were to sign up for this show, and as soon as I sent the application in, I would be starting a fire every day with every possible way to do it. Whether it's a magnifying glass, you know, the flint and steel, the bow. I mean, the one guy was like, I practiced on starting a fire every which way, but not this way. And I'm like, how many other ways are there to start a fire?
Yeah, he's all, I tried it with this, with a lighter.
He's got a lighter, matches, and flint and steel.
Like, I've been practicing with a lighter.
Yeah. And then you got the
bow torch. The bow is a good one, dude. I mean, you got to sit there. You can do it without it. You can do it Indian style with your hand.
Yeah, that would take a long time, but it can be done. It can be done. I'm just saying it was getting to that point where I'm like, you can't go out there and say you've tried it every way, but this way. I mean, if you're going to try it every way, you need to try it every way. And then practice fasting work on your fasting.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do intermittent fasting. You can go for days without eating. Can't go that long without water, but you can go days without eating.
Right.
You just have to manage your...
Learn how to capture rainwater.
Dude, you know there's mice running around all over the place. Like, build a little trap. Catch a little bastard.
Do something. So,
if you have a fire.
I looked up. Yeah, you could probably still do rainwater and not be...
Oh, for sure. Like, the one lady was catching it off of her little tarp.
Off the tarp,
out of there. No, I'm saying if you caught a mouse, you better have
a mouse. I didn't hear the mouse part.
Yeah, because they always shown at night, the little mice run around and stuff.
But like the one girl, she knew, she's like, I'm going to go eat some ants.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, ants.
Yeah, and there's garments or grum, what are those little things? Worms?
Grubs?
Grubs and stuff.
You got grubs and worms, you know, whatever you can do. So I looked it up, like I just looked up survival courses near me. There are two right where, like over by where I deliver for UPS, not that far from here. Okay. I'm like, you can do a 28-day deal, which was pretty cool. I was like, all right, well, I mean, if they give these guys some notice, there's like a 7-day, a 14-day, and a 22-day course, which was pretty cool. But let's see, it was, you can do 7 nights, and you cost you $2,470 to go. Yeah, to go learn all the stuff you need to learn. They take you out for seven days.
Like a survivalist.
So they teach you friction fire. They teach you primitive shelters, stone tool construction and use, composite selection and shelter building, wilderness hygiene, fire construction, natural carrying vessels, low impact wilderness travel, primitive cooking techniques, foraging, primitive traps and cordage, knife use and safety, water location and purification, basic plant identification, trapping and fishing. And that costs you $2,500 basically.
Crazy.
14 days, $3,980. It's got kind of the same stuff. It's got like live animal processing, problem solving when lost, route planning and travel, compass use. But fire is always on there. Let's see. I had the other one for 28 day is $6,080 to go out.
So the guy just kind of goes with you the whole time.
So I think it's a group deal. I mean, the way it looks like on their website and stuff like that, like a group of you would go. So that is a little bit different than the extracted show where you're by yourself. But they still teach everybody the same stuff. And then they kind of say in there that they, when you're in a group, like somebody might be better at foraging or starting fires. So, you know, you work together as a group in these little skills. So, and then there's another one over in the same area. and he'll take you out for 2 days, and it costs you $300.
That'd be all right.
So it's like a two-night
I can do
deal.
It for you, dude, and I won't even charge you. Just take you up.
But I think we've decided we're putting you out there by yourself.
Yeah, but we'd have to also, I think, though, we'd have to kind of, we'll keep an eye on it and see what the deal is. Because it would be, I mean, we definitely want to do it. It's kind of like how we put in for the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
But I think we want to look and see when it pops up so that we can see what that is. Because if the three of us have to put in for it, and then they're like, okay, well, this is the one we're taking. Or this is who, you know, if you guys want to do it, this is the person. I don't know if that's how it goes.
Right.
I mean, I would most certainly go for it. And I would tell you never to extract me.
Right.
Ever.
And I would tell you, if you have an abundance of food and you're doing well, keep it inside of your tent and eat out of camera view.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody in the room can see how well, yeah, you know, other people are
all
doing.
The teams know.
Yeah.
Like that one dude just playing up his wife like she's terrible and can't survive. And he went overboard and they all gave her a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And then they're like, he's like, I think we painted a target on mom's back. And it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I would, and that's how you'd go into it. You'd be like, the bare minimum to keep me. I don't need to be comfortable and living high on the hog. You know what I mean? And knowing like that you're going to have to do challenges and stuff like that. You know, that would be good, like having Lee would be able to do good on mapping.
Right.
And I think the two of you would do well together.
Yeah, I'm never giving you toilet paper or toothpaste.
No.
I'm not wasting space in my crate with toilet paper.
Toilet paper would be nice.
It would. And if we got to a point where we could get you toilet paper.
Yeah, because I'm going to be getting leaves too. Like, I'm wiping my booty. I'll go down and put it in the lake.
There you go.
Sorry, that's the bacteria you're going to get if you don't boil that water, because I'm washing my booty in this water.
I thought about it, I think it was last night. I was like, man, just go down, sit in that thing and cold plunge and get out.
You wouldn't want to do that because you don't want to. That's too much energy. Your body's using too much energy.
But if you were sustainable at your camp with a fire and
still,
stuff.
You're still at a huge calorie deficit,
regardless.
Because
I've always, every time I get out of the cold plunge, it's like, oh. That water was freezing while I was in it, but now the air outside is a lot warmer than
it would take too much of your body to heat back up.
Well, I'm dead.
And so you would burn a lot of calories. What's that?
I said, well, then I'm dead, because I would be like, I'm going to cold plunge so that it feels warmer up here.
Camera. Yeah, I'm just going to cold plunge in here. And it's like 2 days later, like, this is a bad idea. I'm exhausted. Man, you know, because it's like that guy swimming, he didn't warm back up until the next day.
True.
You know what I mean? The one that didn't make it was like shivering in the middle.
Dude, he was halfway there. He was already halfway there.
So my thing was like that one, I'd be like, sorry, guys. Like, this is what I'm doing. And I would strip down. I mean, I would keep my underwear on, but I wouldn't wear my clothes.
No, I wouldn't wear my clothes either.
My camp, because you'd have to come back. Like they told you, you have to make it across and make it back.
And if you're soaking wet in your clothes, your clothes are wet anyway.
Yeah,
it's not keeping you warm in the water
out there and trying to dry. So it's like, yeah, you're cold. Your temperature's temperature. Doesn't
right.
matter if you have what clothes you have on, and you want to try to keep most of your body, over 50% of your body, out of the water.
Correct.
I would think, because then your body can warm,
right,
to a degree.
You don't get the hypothermia. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're fully submerged, your body can't regulate.
Some of those rafts, like his raft was, I don't even, he might as well just grabbed a log and just used it like a life preserver.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a raft.
Well, I mean, some of them they didn't even do anything. Like, they just sat on with their tarp covering them with their sleep bag and whined.
Well, they thought it was going to be a Club Med.
Dude, he's like, oh, I thought we were all going to be camping together and they'd have a camp set up. I was like,
what? Yeah, what kind of information do they give these people before they go?
Everybody else knew.
True.
She was the only one that said
that. She's sitting there on the rock with her bear spray. Just,
oh, thank you so much for the bear spray. Like,
oh, bear spray is flammable.
Well, anything, the first thing you want to do is a fire. And then gather wood and store it where it doesn't get wet. You know what I mean? And then start to do your stuff. Get a fire
going. Shelter and fire.
It wards off stuff. But you can have your fire still going while you're building your shelter.
Correct.
Just keep stoving it up and never let it go out.
And build a shelter big enough to keep your wood under it from getting wet.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or build a separate shelter for the wood. Do something.
Yeah. Got something, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of frustrating, and I'm not very good at survival. You know how cold I get just going coyote hunting.
Yeah,
and
you do.
So
yeah, you're not going to have electric socks. I mean, if they have them and I had to put them in your little bag, I would.
I mean, if you're wearing socks, aren't socks just socks? You're wearing the clothes you got on, right?
Yeah, but some of them, remember, they got hot chocolate and wool socks.
They did get hot chocolate and wool
and
socks.
One of the things. And then the lady bails out.
Oh, before it even got there.
Before it even, she didn't even go get it. Well, then what, dude, and what's with the deer, and you put it in the container, and then you can't even open it? I'm like, oh my God.
The bear-proof container.
But that's where I think then your mind starts to play tricks, because your lack of sleep. And
but like you said,
food and water.
You're trying to do the same thing over and over. It's not going to.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
So you need to either step back, take a breath, kind of look at it, maybe move to a different angle, look at it, and go, oh, well, I could do it like this or something. But I think it's. It is definitely a good show. We also did talk about having your daughter and your wife go with you, or one of them. And I think the producers would like to have your wife on there, because there'd be, you know, either Lee or myself telling her, no, we're not pulling him. And she'd be, we're pulling him. We're pulling him. And I think they look at a lot of that stuff for ratings.
Yeah. Well, that one dude's got his, what, like a cousin and his best friend or something. Two dudes.
Yeah.
Two guys.
Yeah, old Jake.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, they don't show him very much because he's doing too good.
I know. It'd be like, be like you and Alexa would be cool.
She'd be in a little bit of panic sometimes, but
I wonder how she would do for real. Like, she's pretty tough like that. Like,
yeah, but I don't
like me, like, toughen up kind of thing. Like, or he'll be fine or you're okay.
Yeah, I don't think any child's going to like to watch their parent.
They won't. Struggle. Yeah, she won't like me suffering knowing, like, dad doesn't have food, or, you know, he's getting low on water. She's going to take notes like a mofo. So that'd be good. You definitely would just look at her notes, because she'd be tracking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
it
would be entertaining for you and her to do it also. But I would tell her, you don't ever extract, even like on some of that, like that one lady's like, I know I said, give me a couple of days to take me out. No, I don't think that I would ever say that.
I think we'd go in with a plan of you saying that.
Yeah, and then you guys would be like,
we just be dicks and not do it.
Said, like, if he said that, we said we're going to wait a week.
Wait a week.
He said, if you ever said extract, if he said pineapple, that was the code word, and we're going to give him 7 days.
Oh, man.
But there's a lot to it. It's cool to think. Like, I like thinking about it. Like, I've always wanted to, and I told Tosh this before. And I will probably eventually do it at some point, is I want to take and do that. Not quite like going into the Badlands there or whatever, you know, like British Columbia, but doing like even here and going and having Tosha take me somewhere and dropping me off at like a base of a mountain, and then she's gonna come get me on the other side of that mountain range. Say, like, if she takes me on a Friday and drops me off, she's gonna pick me up like the following Sunday afternoon, and I have to just make it across with just a backpack, and I'll put stuff in it that I think that I need to do this trip,
right?
And I'm gonna hike, you know, I'll hike myself or find a place to make myself a camp or a bed or whatever, you know, a rock hanging, whatever it is, start a fire, that kind of stuff. But it ain't going to be like, I'm not going to take a lighter or, you know, a little torch or something. It'll be
flint and steel.
Flint and steel. And I'll take, like, basically gear as if, like, oh, the weather changed, a rain jacket or a pair of socks. I would take
tarp and rope.
Tarp, rope, knife. I'd probably, like I told Tosh on that one, like, if there was ever an opportunity to get a hatchet,
yes,
put it in the box. You know what I mean? It'd be like that. It'd be sleeping bag.
I could see you out there digging in freaking, what do they call those, tiger pits or whatever? You'd be out there digging a hole, putting spikes down on the bottom and laying branches over some stuff and fall in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm for sure going to have a weapon, like a backup.
Like a pistol?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, you're going to take a pistol. I'm not going to take a rifle, because then I'm just going to shoot rabbits and start a fire and rabbits at night. Like, I'm not going to suffer at all.
He's like, got this little rabbit over here roasting.
Yeah.
On a spit. You got him on a spit.
You know, but it's like, it's something like that of that sort. I'd probably take a thing of vodka. You know what I mean? So you could use it like if you did get cut or you needed to put some down and start a fire, get something wet, you know, that sort, or rubbing alcohol, whatever you want to take. I don't think, is rubbing alcohol flammable?
Yeah.
So probably something like that. Just like a little vial of it. Well, yeah. You also don't want to
throw
like,
a little first aid kit in there.
Yeah. You also don't want it because you are literally, you're not like those people in the scheme of all things. They do have an extract.
They do.
And there's a helicopter or a boat that drives up and pulls you out.
And they're being watched the whole time. Yeah. You'd have to take like a satellite phone just to be like, okay, I cut my finger off and I need you to come get me.
No.
Yeah.
You'd have the satellite phone like if I was going to die.
If you lost a limb.
If I lost a finger, dude, I'm just going to cauterize it, bandage it up. Dude. Keep going on.
So you got an infection in 7 days?
No, I'm not going for 7 days. It's only going to be a Friday to a Sunday.
Well, that's okay. So three days. Like,
you're only going to stay Friday night, Saturday. It's 2 nights.
And pack the finger in ice and pack it with you.
Huh? Yeah.
Get some snow. Put the freaking finger in snow. Yeah,
and I want to do it where it is like starts out and then you do have to get up
and get into a little bit of snow.
Yeah. Or like during a raining season or something of that sort. It would be cool to do. And you could also do it with somebody. Like you and I could go do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think if you do two people, you go a little longer.
Well, you always have somebody to eat if you get started.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. If you actually didn't get any food, you would be fine if you went those many days. Like,
correct.
We're not going to become the freaking, what's that, the airplane crash one?
Alive?
No. That's a show, but there's a real one.
I know. Isn't that what they called the movie? Was called Alive?
Yeah, but what was their names? The something party? The Donner Party? That's what it is.
Well, the Donner Party was the... That was an airplane. The Donner Party
when they got trapped up in the thing. And
that was the wagons. Yeah, that was the wagons back in Pioneer days.
No.
Yes, the Donner Party. That's why you have Donner Pass. All right, you look it up.
I'm going to
look up the freaking airplane movie. I'm telling you, dude, the movie was called Alive. 1983 film. 1993, sorry. I can read it.
I know, so who was it? It is the Donner Party.
Stranded after a plane crash in the Andes Mountains, individual members of Uruguay's rugby team respond differently. Group leaders, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So the movie Alive was where they ate people in the plane crash.
Yeah. So I think we're not going to be gone that long. Like we'll have to cut slabs of meat off your ass and cook it on the grill.
Well, don't go with my ass.
We're definitely eating you first. For sure.
Yeah. I've got the most.
You have the little more marbled meat than
I
do.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, we would keep you alive. We would just clean stuff.
You cut stuff off, wrap
small
it up.
Parts, clean it up with our vodka and bandage you up.
You just quarter me out one quarter at a time.
we're just blank staking you.
Ugh.
But I mean, like that would be like a rough go. But it would be fun just to do something of that sort, you know. But it's like that. Like you couldn't just take your rifle with you. I think that'd be.
And I think if you're gonna do it, yeah,
you'd want in case like a lion did start sneaking around and you had to.
Right. Try to use all the primitive stuff you can. And if it came down to using the pistol or the satellite phone or anything like that, that's you have that because you're out there by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we still have to live and have families to come back to.
Correct.
I think there was some UFC guy that went and did some. He was some extreme dude that did crazy shit like that and wanted to go across some desert or something and then died. I'm like, well, that's cool. Way to go, dude. Yeah, he didn't plan that one out. The dude, remember that guy that used to fight with the long, curly hair? He always did like this like spider monkey looking stuff. I know there's a listener right now who's saying the dude's name.
I'm pretty sure they're screaming.
Sanchez fought and all them guys used to fight back in that time. I think it was like shortly after Chuck Liddell, right around that time, maybe a little after.
Really?
Yeah, put UFC fighter dies in the desert or dies on some extreme outing. Man, I can picture him. He's got some weird name, like Jim.
Evan Tanner?
No.
Was a well-liked UFC middleweight champion in mixed martial artist who fought in the 2000s. He's known for his da-da-da-da-da.
That ain't him. What, he's got long hair, curly?
It's long hair.
No, it's like fuzzy, crazy hair.
Oh. His Wikipedia doesn't say.
Well,
in the summer of 2008, Tanner announced plans for a solo trip to the Imperial County, California desert after concerns
were raised. Him. Let me see what he looks like. Show me his picture. Yep, that's him. Yeah, he went out in the desert and died. So we don't want to do that.
No.
All right, so moving on. We're going to do some, try to get extract. Try to do that. Did some steel match shooting last weekend. That was cool.
Right, you had a competition.
Yeah.
Did you get your results?
They post them. I didn't go look at them.
They don't send you an email or something?
No. It just goes on their like website. But like Jay came by because I went shooting yesterday, and he was like, yeah, dude, I looked at your numbers. They were good. Staying right at under 30 seconds, like in the 22 to 26 mark.
No, I don't know what a steel.
So steel match is like you go, there's 10 bays, so you have 10 rounds, right? And you have to go, basically you have four targets that are white, and then you have the stop target that has red, either on the stake or the target. It's usually the stand that holds it. So you shoot your four targets in whatever order. So it's like shooter ready, and then beep, it goes off. You pull your pistol out, bing, 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 and you shoot the four. And then when you hit the stop target, your time stops. And so, and they're all different. Some are 10-inch targets. Some, they start you out like a 2x2 big steel one, ding, 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 and you can do that pretty fast. And then they get different. They're smaller and they're lined up different and different yardages. At one point, one of them is 52 feet away from you, which is a pretty good distance. And it's a 10-inch or 8-inch target.
And how many rounds do you get in your
so
magazine?
So you go 5 rounds per bay, per stage. So it's like shooter ready, shoot. Ding-ding-ding-ding. So you got 5 shots if you hit it 5 times, right?
What happens if you miss the stop button?
You shoot again. Shoot again. So you have mags ready to go.
Oh, okay.
So then you shoot as many times until you hit the stop target, hit all the targets and the stop, and that's your time. And you do that 5 times, and then they take your worst time, scratch that one, and you get timed on the 4 best times, and that's your total. So I was getting like 22, 23, 26 seconds out of 4 rounds. So shooting sub 5 or just over 5 seconds.
That's a pretty quick acquire and shoot, yeah.
Yeah, so it's about a second a target, maybe just a hair over. So it went really well. I was hitting pretty good. And then we went out yesterday, and I was shooting. My shooting was on yesterday. This doesn't always work that way, but like we did like single-handed, left hand, right hand, left hand. Okay. 90 seconds, 10 rounds.
And it was all pistol?
Pistol on those, yeah. So you'd go 10 rounds with your left hand, drop your mag, recycle it, 10 rounds with your right hand. Drop your mag, shooting they had like a 3-mark target, and you'd have to shoot it. So you had 90 seconds, and in that 90 seconds, you had to shoot through your 3 mags with 10 rounds each, and then your misses were 2-second penalty added on to that 90 seconds, and your no shot, like your extra round, like you uncycled round, is 5 seconds. So like if you don't get through your mags, it's a 5-second penalty added to your time. You just can't stand there and like get all perfect about it. You
right,
gotta be
right.
Pretty quick, about 30 seconds around.
So you're doing left hand, right hand, and then finishing on your left hand.
Yeah. So a couple of those. The first one I went through, I missed one, and that's at the targets were at 7 yards, freestanding. So I missed one on that one. I think I missed two on the second round, and then I didn't miss any. Like, I went through the first 30 rounds and only missed one. Then I went through another 30 rounds and only missed two. Then I went through another 30 rounds and didn't miss any on that
one. Did you always go left, right, left, or did you do?
No, we switched up. One of them, we went left or right, left, two-handed.
Okay.
You could shoot it normal. And then we went normal shooting with both hands. And that one, we moved the targets out a little further, shot it with two hands. I didn't miss any on that one. And then we switched over to rifle because I put my tactical scope on, and we went rifle at 12 yards standing, 7 rounds for 3 mags. So you get used to cycling and dropping your mag and cycling. So and I think
so when you drop your mag, do you just let it go to the ground?
Yep, drop in the dirt.
Poof, it's a lot of cleaning.
Yeah, usually they'll hit base first and then just fall over because they're heavier on the bottom.
Okay.
So when you drop that mag out, it just falls straight down and then falls. As long as you don't step on it or kick it.
Right.
Then you're pretty good. Yeah, it was good, dude. So we're getting ready for the tactical games and into April. So I'm starting to run more and get into some sandbag stuff and all that.
How's your wrist?
It's doing good. I did rope climbs the other day. That felt good. Sandbag stuff feels good. I can pick most of everything up, as long as they don't have us do cleans, which I don't think they would ever have you do. It's usually overhead or farmer carrier, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah, I'm stoked, dude. I mean, I'm going to now start putting, I built a tank trap. I got a barricade wall almost ready and done for shooting, you know, like the one with the PVC stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I cut one of those out. I just got to put some stands on the side of it and paint it.
And did you get the ones that look like a jack? Like the yep, I call it a jack. That's a tank trap. Oh, okay. Yep.
It's done.
Have
it's
you all, used it yet?
We actually used it the other day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was too long. I cut them down. But now it's nice, dude, setting up on those and shooting compared. Definitely the standing is the one that everybody really needs to work on. And the girls are getting better with gun stuff. They get a lot of jamming, but they're getting more comfortable working through that and not getting all weird and panicky. So that's cool.
Weird.
You know, because that's always nervous. So I don't want to get shot.
Yeah.
But they're doing better. Their barrel awareness is doing really well. They've been running Staccatos, which is a phenomenal gun, but they're nice and they're a clean running gun. Like if you get dust in them, they're ass. Sorry, Staccato, whatever you want to say about it, but the specs on them are so tight that one, we were out there yesterday and one accidentally got dropped in the dirt, like just on the ground, like we kicked dirt on it and you just rubbed it across the thing, but it fell down and the thing jammed every round from then on. We even took it apart and tried to brush some of the dust off of it, I guess, to see, and it still was doing the same thing. So I told him, like, hey, you guys have Staccatos. I would most certainly put together a cleaning kit, like a little quick kit you can keep in your bag, because as soon as the wind blows, those things are going to start jamming up.
Or even get some of that.
I don't even understand.
You know that air stuff that you spray on your
canned air? I told him it's canned air. Yeah.
Yeah. Canned air, for sure.
I forgot about that. Yeah, dude. Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we're working on. But I think we should also try to hit another cast so we can kind of catch up.
Yeah, definitely.
I got to go pick up Alexa from ballet. That's the story of my life, dude.
And then on Saturday, I get to go watch Shane Gillis. So yeah. I'm going up to the Delta Center to watch Shane Gillis and
so we won't, a that's a good thing show. We're putting it on this one, then. We won't be able to do it over the weekend. Maybe Sunday.
Sunday, maybe.
And you're hungover ass comes back from that show.
I have to drive back that night. There's not going to be any hungover nothing.
Oh, well,
yeah. We're driving up, watching the show, and driving back. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, hey, have fun on that one, dude.
All right, man. Good cast.
You too, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be dropping and try to stay on some more, but we appreciate you guys. Everyone, love you.
Peace.